We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today, so if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and turn there. Proverbs is a special book for me, and it's always, well, I say always, a lot of my Christian walk is corresponding with the month of March for me, because my birthday is in March, and so usually when I was going to start a new year of life, I would think, you know, I want to be better than I was the year before, I want to be more wise, and so I would, for the month of March, read through the book of Proverbs, not every year of my Christian life, but a lot of them, because March also has 31 days, and Proverbs has 31 chapters, and so I read a chapter a day, and I've just done that, and so March is sort of like Proverbs month for me, and it's going to be for you now, too, at least this year. And so before we get into Proverbs, though, I need God's help. I really want to do this well. I really want to do this series well. This is just going to be the introduction sermon to the book. And no, don't worry. I'm not going to be preaching. It's not going to be verse by verse through every portion. We've been there for years. We're going to hit the high points. But this will be an introduction sermon to this series. And so if you'd bow with me and while we ask for God's help. Father, I pray, please, please help me to present your truth well. Lord, you desire a godly people. And you desire your people to be walking in your ways, to be walking in wisdom. So, Father, I pray that you would be sowing that wisdom into our lives. And Lord, give us that needle and thread also to be sowing it into our paths, Lord, as we walk. Lord, help us to walk rightly and help us to live life well. Lord, help us to live well in your world, please, with your help and for your glory. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Proverbs. I like this book. It is a unique book, though. It is one of the five books in the Old Testament that we call books of poetry. But then you can boil it down even further, and it's one of three books that we call wisdom literature, the other two being Ecclesiastes and Job. So I've titled this series Living Well in God's World, because that's really the goal of the different authors of Proverbs. It's not just written by Solomon. Solomon did write most of it, but we're going to see that there's other people that contributed to it as well. But that's the goal. That's God's goal in giving you this book. He wants you to live well with wisdom, with skill in his world. Basically, to do life good, to do it right. And that's the goal of this book. And I like that, because if you're like me, you need a little help in that area. I'm not the only one who's trying to do life well, am I? Trying to do it good? I hope not. So basically, all these wisdom authors, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, they're trying to tell us how to be good at doing life. So the book of Proverbs is like a really smart teacher. Think of this book as like a teacher for you. And this teacher that you have is very smart, with this incredible insight into all kinds of things in your life and in my life. What kind of things, Cohen? Well, things like money and work and relationships. You all do that. Relationships with God and with man, by the way. Integrity. Has something to say about that. Spirituality. All these things and many more. Proverbs touches on all of them. It's also unique in how it's laid out. If we can bring the outline up, I want to show you guys the outline for this. And I got a lot of this. Now, I didn't draw these. That'd be really cool if I could draw that good. Okay, I'm not like that really famous author. Artist. What's his name? Clint Kaiser. I'm not like him. But he could do something like this. This is from the Bible Project, by the way, and I kind of took snippets and used it as my own here, okay? So don't be like, wow, Cohen's is really awesome. No, the Bible Project is really awesome. And they put their stuff out there for free and let people like me use it.
But the book's laid out like this. Chapters 1 through 9 are the first chunk that we get at, and Braden read to us sort of the introduction. That's the introduction into the whole book, but that also introduces chapters 1 through 9. And in chapters 1 through 9, you get these sayings from, there's these 10 speeches in those chapters. Speeches like a father to a son, not just like a father to a son, but he'll even say things like, my son, do this, or my son, don't do this, or watch out for this. What's also really neat, one of my favorite characters in the book, is this Lady Wisdom. And there are 4 poems about her spread throughout these chapters too. And she's caricatured as this lady walking around in public squares where people can hear her. Or maybe she's standing up on top of something very high, like maybe on top of a building or something, and crying out to people who are called simple. They need instruction. They need learning. They need understanding. And she's crying out to them and saying, listen to what I'm telling you. Take it. It's free. Hear what I'm saying. It will help you in life. It will help you avoid this and that. Take what I'm saying to you. Then, what most of us probably think about when we think about the book of Proverbs, we find in chapters 10 through 29, we think of a proverb. What is a proverb? Well, as you know, a proverb is just a little, short, wise saying that's supposed to help you do something in life better or avoid something or teach you a right way. Like, we know the one that most of us have memorized, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Something like that, right? Those are found primarily, and there's hundreds of them. They're found in chapters 10 through 29. Now, you see, also, at the end there, like you see in chapter 30, and 31, that final section, and those kind of make up the conclusion of the book, by the way. But those are 2 large collections of other poems. And the first poems that you find in chapter 30 are by this man named Agur. And he acknowledges in his book that he lacks understanding. And then he also acknowledges that he knows he finds understanding through the scriptures. He knows that he can find divine knowledge by reading the Word of God. And so I like him in chapter 30 because he sort of represents us, how we come to the scriptures. We come to the scriptures saying, I don't know everything I need to know. I don't ever have everything I need to do life well. And then he reads the scriptures and then he basically says, oh, I found what I need to live life well. So Agur here in chapter 30 is sort of like us, sort of represents us. And then the final poems are in chapter 31. And you know that these are probably connected to a man named either Lemuel or Lemuel. Any Hebrew scholars in here? Find me afterwards. Let me know. But Lemuel, he's a non-Jewish king, by the way, not a Jew. What's so special about him? Well, he wants to pass on wisdom to us that his mother gave him. And in chapter 31, he gives us 2 things. First of all, he gives us instruction that he got from his mother about how to be a wise leader. Because like I said, he's a king. And so he's got some things to teach us about being a wise leader. And then what chapter 31 is famous for is this noble woman. He also tells us what his mother taught him about this character of this noble woman and how wise she is and how she works the wisdom from God, kind of like sows it through different parts of her life. And it shows how great her life is, how well she does, because she is living out this wisdom and putting it into practice in her life. So a very quick outline of the book of Proverbs and where we're going in this book for the next couple weeks. So what's the goal of the book of Proverbs? What's the main end? Well, like I said, to help us get something. That something that it wants us to get is the Hebrew word, and you almost have to kind of spit when you're in your throat when you say it, but it's the Hebrew word called chokmah. We can just say chokmah if you want. You don't have to like that. We don't all speak German like Brian. He can do that very well, I'm sure. But it's the word that's translated as wisdom. This chokmah is the word that we translate for wisdom, and that's it up there. It looks really cool, doesn't it? If only we could all read it. But as you might know, you read it from right to left. It's very confusing. I remember learning Hebrew in seminary. Don't be impressed. I only remember the alphabet. I remember learning Hebrew in seminary and even having to start the book backwards. You like flip it over and you open it this way. And it was really hard, which is why I don't remember any of it. So I've already made reference to this, but when we think of chokmah, I want you to think about a needle and thread. This needle and thread that we're going to call chokmah, wisdom, is also an attribute of God. And He used this when He was creating the world, we're told in the Scriptures. It's been woven, this wisdom of God has been woven into the fabric of all of His creation. So whenever people are making good and just and wise decisions, they're actually tapping into chokmah. It's out there, it's in the world, and so when we're doing those right things that God says we should do, we're tapping into it. And whenever someone's making bad decisions that are unjust and unwise, they're actually working against chokmah. It's like they're pulling against it. And that's why they're finding so much trouble. So like it says in Proverbs 1:32, we read about them pulling against chokmah and getting bad things. It says the complacent of fools destroys them. Find that in chapter 1, verse 32. And like I said, wisdom is characterized by this lady. She's probably one of my favorite figures in the book. She's characterized as a person. She's calling out, wanting to give her listeners this wisdom that they need to live well. And here's like a picture of her that I got from the Bible Project. Here she's like saying, "Hey, I'm Lady Wisdom. Take this thread. Use it. Take this wisdom of God, and now you can use that and start weaving it into your life and do things with this chokmah, and it's going to help you." If they take this wisdom, they can interact with it and create a life that's not only good, but it's good for others too. So you can use chokmah to create. Use it in your life to create things. Like in this next picture here, it's called Create with Wisdom. So like this lady, for example, she's used chokmah in her home, how she lives, where she lives, and that's a picture of us using it to live well in our household. So what's cool about this word chokmah also is that it's not just most of us, when we think about wisdom, we just think about intellectual knowledge. Most of us, when we think wisdom, oh, he's said all these awesome things that I know he got from his mind, and because he's read a lot of books, he's so wise. And we just think about knowledge. But the word is also an action word that can be translated like skill, craft. And so, like an artisan. And so when you think skill, also think applied knowledge. You are applying this. Like, for example, in Exodus 31, in Exodus chapter 31, Moses is talking about these different artists and these different craftsmen who were said to have chokmah. as they did their crafts. They were so gifted with their artistry. They were so gifted as people who could make this statue. And it said they had great chokmah to do that. And so it's also used, like when you're talking about skill in creating something. So let's bring that over into our lives. What's this mean? It means this. Proverbs wants to help you develop a set of skills for living well in God's world. You got your Bible open to Proverbs 1, yes? So look what the father says to the son. First of all, we're going to come back to this part about Solomon here in a second, but it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. So now, for those two verses, we are the learner, as you see, because it says to know it. Okay, I'm knowing things. To understand. Okay, I'm receiving. I'm understanding things. To receive instruction in righteousness, justice, and equity. So I'm understanding it. I'm receiving it. I'm the learner. But then also look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to youth. So in verse 4, there's also someone who's the teacher, who's giving it to someone else. So verses 2 and 3, I'm the learner. Verse 4, there's someone who's a teacher. So this book is for anyone, no matter where you are, whether you consider yourself a learner. By the way, you're always going to be a learner. If you stop learning, you're going backwards, actually. So this book's for you as a learner. And this book's also for you as an instructor. Is there anyone in your life who looks to you for advice, counsel, wisdom? People will come to you out of the blue sometime, like I mentioned last week, if they know you have a reputation for godliness, like what happened to me just last week, right before I got to church, someone sent me a text and said, hey, in a really bad spot, really bad, can you give me, and he used this phrase, some words of wisdom. Praise God. He came to me for wisdom. Because he knew I was a Christian. He's not. Been praying that he will become one through this thing he's going through. But you don't know who you might need to instruct as well. So this book is also for you. Part of living well in God's world is not just getting all that you can get to be, oh, I'm so smart. It's also getting all that you can get so you can give it too. That's the goal in this, to also give it. Now, we start off, though, with the Proverbs of Solomon, of King David. Son of King David, rather. You might recall who Solomon is. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, first of all, he was David's son, as it mentioned. The Lord came to him and said, hey, you're king. I'll give you whatever you want. And you might recall, Solomon asked for wisdom to lead God's people well. And in the very next chapter, in 1 Kings 4, it says this about Solomon. It says that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men on planet Earth at that time. He's not wiser than all men, though, is he? There's one I know who's wiser than him. Not me. It's Jesus, in case you didn't get that. It's the Lord Jesus. And we're going to come back to him as the key to doing all this in the book of Proverbs. So, Proverbs wants to help us, like I said, develop a set of skills for living well in God's world. So, you show that you possess chokmah when you put it to work and develop the set of skills for living well. So, you're probably thinking, awesome, Cohen, I'm in. I get you. You got me. You've hooked me. Let's do this. Let's get wisdom. Okay. Wait one second. I'm glad you're motivated. But as I mentioned before, chokmah is also an attribute of God. Remember me saying that earlier? It's one of God's attributes, wisdom. And so it's not just an impersonal force like this thread that I talked about that's woven through all of his creation. It's not just a force that you can tap into. And I don't, if you were thinking, what's he talking about? You can tap into some power. I don't like where he's going with that. Well, hopefully you know me well enough by now to know that it wasn't anything strange or odd. Our journey in becoming wise has to begin with something called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, it's, what is it? It's a healthy respect of God's definition of good and evil. You have a healthy respect for what God says this is good and this is evil. You also have a healthy respect for God himself. But learning these boundary lines of what God says, this is good and this is evil. Learning that, following it, believing it, all this is tied up in what the book of Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Think of wisdom sort of like this tree that's growing up. That's wisdom, okay? Here's the wisdom tree. Its roots are growing out of the ground that's called the fear of the Lord. So wisdom grows up out of something. It gets its nourishment from something, and its nourishment is coming from the fear of the Lord. You have to have this if you're going to have wisdom. And when you have wisdom growing up out of the fear of the Lord, you've got fruit on this tree. And what's that fruit? Living life well. In your relationships, with your money, you have integrity, character, all these things, that's the fruit of having this wisdom that grows up out of the fear of the Lord. That's why there's so many of those little short sayings, that we call Proverbs. That's why there's so many of them. There's hundreds of them from chapters 10 to 29. Because chokmah gets applied to these sayings. And if you design your life after these truths, then you will have chokmah in you. You've then worked that thread of wisdom into your life, and it'll start to show itself as you live out life according to God's will, according to God's word. But there's something about this book that you need to know. It does seem a bit simplistic when you read through it. It seems a little cut and dry. This is the way it is. This is the way it's not. The end. It's kind of the way it seems. It basically says, do these good things and you'll have long life. Do these bad things and you'll have a short life and it'll be bad. So what you need to understand about Proverbs is this. Proverbs is based on probabilities. It's not giving you promises. It's really giving you principles. Because the proverb I mentioned earlier, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Oh, really? We all know at least one person, I'm sure, that had godly parents and raised that child in a godly way, and he rebelled, and he died in his sin. And we say, Lord, you let me down. Because Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. I don't know if you're right. No, Proverbs were never meant to be hard and fast promises. They are, however, probabilities. Like a more than likely, or a usually this is the way it goes, or the majority of the time this is what happens. So the simplicity of Proverbs that we're going to see is balanced out by the other wisdom literature. That's why you also need Ecclesiastes, and that's why you also need Job. Remember what happened to Job? He was the most righteous man on planet Earth at that time, and more bad things happened to him than I've ever heard about anything happening to anyone I've ever known. I mean, do you know anyone who's ever suffered as much as he did? I mean, really. Do you know anyone who every single one of his children died in one day? Do you know anyone who ever lost everything he ever had that same day? Do you know anyone who ever not only lost everything he ever had, all of his children died in the same day, but then he also got this horrific skin disease that lasted for weeks? On the same day. I don't know anybody like that. So the wisdom literature that we're only going to be looking at Proverbs is balanced out when you look at all three books. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. Ecclesiastes and Job deal more with those exceptions, because there are exceptions to these rules. There are exceptions to these principles. I mean, I used to work somewhere where the guys that lied the most got the most money. And that was just the truth. I mean, I would hear them lying about a deal, and so they would get that deal, and they would get more money. And then I was over here telling the truth and not getting as many deals because I was telling the truth. And I was like, I don't like this. What's the deal? But money doesn't equal happiness, does it? Better to make God happy and not have any money than to make him unhappy and have all the money. At the end of the day, the money's going to go away. But I'll have to face him one day forever, right? So those things help balance that out. But keep this in mind, Proverbs are just that. They are wise sayings that are not necessarily promises. So keep that in mind as we go through these. But they will show that this is usually what takes place. And you'll see that in your life. This is usually what takes place if you follow these rules, if you follow these commands, if you weave chokmah in your life. So the book of Proverbs is about us living wisely, living well in God's world. Now, first of all, God's world is not only things that we can see, though, is it? Proverbs deals a lot with mostly the things that you can see. Like I mentioned, your money, your work, raising children, even disciplining children, even talks about that, relationships. These are all things that we can see. But you know good and well that Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. You must be born anew. You must be born of God. And so if you want to live well in God's world, first of all, you need to be in God's world. And I don't just mean his physical world. We're all there. But you have to see the Lord himself to even want to live after his ways. And Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't even see it without being born anew of God. So you want this book to really benefit you? You need the greatest chokmah. Who is he? 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:30. That will be in the New Testament. It's going to be after Romans. So if you get to Romans, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Since this was not part of the original plan. Oh, it's already up there. Look at these guys. They're sharp.
So Jesus here in this verse is called, well, you'll see. It's talking about Jesus Christ, and it says, "And because of Him," that's God, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us," what? "Wisdom from God." He became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let no one boast, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Jesus Christ is called Chokmah. He is that thread and needle that you need in your heart. Your heart's broken, it's ripped. You need Jesus Christ, first of all, before the book of Proverbs will really make any sense to you. You know when I read the book of Proverbs for the first time? After I got saved. You know how much I cared about the book of Proverbs before I got saved? Zero. I didn't care about that book. I thought it was boring. I wanted to just hang out with my friends and do bad things. I didn't care about right living. I didn't care about living well in God's world. Who cares about that? I cared about Cohen and Cohen having fun. But when I first started caring about Chokmah was when I got the real Chokmah in me, Jesus Christ, when He healed my heart and changed me. You might recall that when Greg was teaching through Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we learn that all wisdom is hidden in Christ. All wisdom is hidden in Christ. So why am I bringing all this up? The key to living well in God's world, first of all, is living. When you're in your sins, according to Ephesians chapter 1, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, according to Ephesians 1. You want to live well in God's world, you first have to live. And that comes through Jesus Christ. And guess what? That wisdom is being woven through the air right now. Jesus Christ is here. And He's like that lady calling out, saying, "Take my wisdom." Jesus Christ is walking through here right now. He's calling out to you right now. Everyone who's listening, He's saying, "Believe me. Believe the truth that I came to save you. Believe that I took the punishment that you deserve. Believe that you are who I say you are, which is dead without me. Believe also that I came to give you life, eternal life in me. And I give it freely, without money, without price. Come to the fountain and drink," He's saying. And that's open to anyone right now. And those of you who are like me, who are in the faith now, and you know that you need more Chokmah, well, join me in praying as we walk through this book together, because there's a lot to gain from this book. If you haven't read through the book of Proverbs before, you don't have to start in chapter 1 if you don't want to, because today's what? Day the 9th? Is today the 9th? 10th, thank you. So you can start in chapter 10 if you want. If you want to read a chapter a day like I do, don't worry about catching up. Start in chapter 10. Lots of good sayings. You will jump right into the little proverb sayings. You'll find that most of them are contrast sayings, like the righteous person does this, but the unrighteous person does that. You'll also find these things called similes in there. This is like this, or this is as this. Similes use like and as. You'll see a lot of those. Let me tell you, the Lord has used proverbs that He burned in my brain at some point in my Christian walk. I wish more were burned in there. But there's some that are burned in there that help me make better decisions in life. While I'm working, while I'm witnessing, while I'm fathering, a proverb will come to my head and I say, "Ooh, let me not do that." Or one will come to my head and I'll say, "Oh, now I know what to do. Didn't know before, now I know.
Thank you, Lord, because of a proverb. So, join me as we walk through these together. Use this chokmah. Start weaving it in your life. And remember, Christ is the key to doing all this. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the fact that wisdom is found in you. Wisdom is free. You care enough about us that you made one man incredibly wise, and you have preserved his writings, and you've preserved his writings through other men. And we thank you for this collection that we have of truth. I pray, Lord, please, as we prepare our hearts now as we sing to receive the Lord's Supper, bring to our lives, bring to our minds, rather, areas where maybe we aren't living as wise as we should. Help us repent and turn from these things. Also, Lord, please give us instruction as to how you would have us to live more wisely in every area, Lord. We love you. We thank you most of all for the wisdom in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.